And when I began to reflect, of course, we knew that we might be talking a little bit too about his impact and his life and our experience. And it's a long time ago that I actually met Ajahn Chah when he first came to England in 1977, and over 25 years. And that, you know, a lot of my memories from that time are not so vivid, but I realized the memories of the interactions that I had with Ajahn Chah were very present still in my mind, the conversations, all the things that he said, and I think primarily the presence. And my first image of my meeting with him was, I was on one of these very long retreats in those early years when we would sit unrelentingly, competing with each other to get enlightened in these endless, sort of Burmese retreats, where one was very, very focused and very disciplined, getting up early. And I was with about 70 Westerners sitting in a retreat outside of Oxford. And it was Ajahn Chah's first visit to England. And halfway through this retreat, he and Ajahn Sumedho walked in to the Dharma Hall. And I had the impression of two beings that had walked in from another planet. I just felt the vibration, the energy, the appearance was just very mind-blowing to me. I just thought, what are these beings about? And they communicated something that I felt was very important, but I didn't know what it was yet. And then the first thing that Ajahn Chah did, he came in, there was a very small, rather tatty little shrine in the corner of the meditation hall that none of us had paid much attention to. It was just there, a small Buddha sitting. We didn't even know what a Buddha Rupa was. Very much we were more interested in the real stuff, the sitting. And Ajahn Chah just came in and very simply bowed. He just put his palms together and did this bow. And for me, I felt that in that gesture, in that movement, it communicated almost a perfect response to human life. I thought, I'd never seen a bow before. And it was the first time I'd seen someone bow. And I thought, that is really the most perfect statement you can make in relationship to life. And it impressed me. It stayed with me. And so I snuck out of the retreat to find out where he was speaking and then went to listen. And which I think was a good move. And I think, as many people have said in the sharings today, that what was often communicated, perhaps even more than the words, was the quality of presence. And I felt, sitting there, I felt so uplifted just in his presence. I felt he had this enormous freedom and power in a way that one felt he was very fearless. I felt someone that was very fearless, that didn't need to please anyone, that was just totally comfortable in his skin, that was very complete, and was very present and joyful and light and free. And as Ajahn Amaro just said, it's not something one meets every day of the week. So I was very, and all of this in a way was communicated on an almost subliminal level. I wouldn't have actually articulated it in that way. It's just thinking back as to what that experience was. I realized those were the qualities that were communicated in his presence. And he gave a Dharma talk. And if you haven't heard a Dharma talk, as I hadn't really heard a Dharma talk from someone that has that quality of presence, then it's a bit like you've been in a desert and you're a withered flower and someone comes with some water. And so I was really drinking in this talk, very simple, very direct. And I remember all the way through the talk thinking, this is really wonderful. This is so good. This is so good. And then at the end of the talk he said, well, if you've been listening to this and you think this is good or you think this is bad, then you haven't been listening properly. So then I thought, well, that's really good. I really like that.